Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, God's Christmas promise. Lord, I thank you for this time together this morning, Lord. I pray that as we enter into this celebration of the birth of Christ, that again we would remember that we see this and we receive it as this tremendous gift. But God, this gift had tremendous cost as well. But because of that cost, it gave us so much. Lord, not because we deserved it. It's truly a gift. You simply promised it to us. And you delivered. So God, we thank you for that. We celebrate what it means to have the gift of Jesus in our lives. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. At Christmas, we always associate Christmas, of course, with gifts, giving and receiving gifts. And we understand that Jesus is the gift that God gave us, the best gift that we've that has ever been given, and we enjoy giving gifts and receiving gifts, and that's the way, you know, that if you want to boil Christmas down, we think of it as this time of the year where this great gift is given. And what I like about this passage is that we're told that God promised us. We have this gift of God for no other reason other than the fact that God said we could have it. We didn't do anything to earn it. Deserve it, nothing like that. We didn't purchase it in any way of our own regard. It just is simply a promise that God gave us. And he gave it to us through the birth of his son, through Jesus, is what it says in verse 4. It says that when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. But the law, he was born under the law, but he is redeeming us from the law so that we could receive the full rights of sons. We are heirs to God's kingdom according to the promise. Not under the law. The law would say we don't deserve it. The law would say we could never earn it. There would be no way that we could ever have God's kingdom. We could never be a part of it because we have guilt in our lives. The law makes us guilty. But God says, that's okay. I'm going to give you I promise you anyway that you can be a part of my kingdom. Because I promise it. I'm doing it through Jesus. So he's born under the law, but he redeems us from that law. Because if we remain under the law, then we can never receive the promise of God's kingdom. We become heirs according to God's promise. And when I think about this idea of giving gifts at the at this time of the year, now, I don't know about you, but usually you get a gift, you get a box, it's all wrapped up, whatever, or it's in a, if you're a guy nowadays, I love the gift bag. Praise the Lord for a gift bag, amen. Stuff some tissue paper in there and you're good to go. You get a gift and you open it up and there's a gift in it. But sometimes you go either way. If you have like this little tiny gift that you want to give, like, you know, you don't want to give it away by having this little tiny box. You don't want to give a ring and have the box look like a ring box, right? So what do? You put it inside a bigger box. Inside of a bigger box, inside of a bigger box, right? I've done that before, but let me just tell you, because I'm such a bad present wrapper, then somebody else has done it for me. Thank God for daughter-in-laws. It's a bummer this year, man. Courtney would always wrap gifts for me these last couple of years when they were living with it. You know, it was great. But Courtney, here you go. Here you go. I don't have that anymore. Or I go the other direction where, because I'm a bad gift wrapper, you put multiple gifts in one big box. And so you open it up, and it's not just one, it's a whole package full of all kinds of gifts. And that's kind of the way, does anybody else do that to keep you from doing multiples? You just put it in a box, Josh is back there, he's with me, he understands. You just put multiple ones in one package. That's the way I see kind of the gift of Jesus. This promise, the gift that God gave us through Jesus is we get Jesus, he's the gift, but with him come all of these other gifts. There are all these other gifts that are a part of the package of Jesus. And so that's what I really want to look at about today are the multiple gifts that we receive as a part of the package of the promise that God gave us. I like to say that we are, because we're heirs, because we're God's children, it says that we're heirs according to the promise. I like to think of it in terms that we are children of promise. We're children of God because God promises that we could be. I want to go back to where I opened this morning in Galatians 3:29. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I'm an heir of God according to the promise of God. It goes on in verse 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, which we know is Jesus. We're talking about the birth of Jesus, born of a woman, the woman, of course, being Mary. But at that time, they were still under the law. Now, the law means we were hopelessly condemned. The law says about mankind, you are guilty. So when Jesus was born to the woman under the law, he was born at a time when all of mankind was guilty. We were, and there's nothing you can do about it. Sentence, you know, the court had already made its decision. You're guilty. But he was born under the law to redeem us from that law, so that we might receive the full rights of sons. So here's something that's really interesting, adoption. Because what we're talking here about is being adopted. Because until Jesus came, we were not a part of God's family. We are adopted into his family. We receive, what's it say in verse 3? We are heirs. We become heirs according to God's promise. So previously we were not part of God's family. Then we become a part of God's family. We become heirs because God promised us. So it means we have to be adopted. So this is really interesting about adoption. Adoption was something very specific. Adoption as a son in Roman law meant that you had the right to the name and the citizenship of the person who adopted you. So we all understand that. You get adopted, you take that person's name. Also, though, it made them a Roman citizen. Like Paul talks about being a Roman citizen. Paul was a Jew, but he was a Roman citizen. And if he were to adopt somebody, they would have also become a Roman citizen. So, Roman law meant that you had the right to the name and the citizenship of the person who adopted you, and the right to inherit his property. So that's why it talks about being, we're sons and daughters of God. We inherit. We're heirs of God. You have the right to their name, their citizenship, and you have a right to their property. The adopted son and the right and the same had the same rights and privileges as a naturally born son. These were rights that were not granted to an adopted daughter. Now, don't panic, women. I'll take care of that in a minute. And the law also granted the one who adopted that son to the full rights and responsibilities of the father. So this is a two-way. Adoption here is a two-way situation. The person adopted has the full rights as being a naturally born child, but the person doing the adoption has the full responsibility of a natural birth parent, okay? So you have the full responsibility of the father's, full authority over the adopted son, and full responsibility to care for that person. So it worked both ways. The person adopted has the full rights of being your the child, but it's like today, as a parent, if you have a child, a minor child, and you do not care for them, you can be legally held responsible for neglect. You can be charged with criminal violation for not caring for, meeting the responsibilities as a parent of your child. We all understand this, right? And that's what it's saying. So not only when God adopts us, is he saying that we have the right to be to everything as a child, but he also has the obligation to care for us as a parent. He has to. It's legally required. So it goes both ways. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about the package of gifts. That obligation of God, his responsibility to us. As our father, he is legally, I know this might sound kind of strange, but in this terms, he is legally obligated to care for us. He has no choice. If you're hearing what I'm saying, it should be impacting you. God has no choice. Now, not that God wouldn't, that God needs to be forced to care for us, but he's legally obligated. When God says, I'm going to adopt you as my children, he's not only saying you get to inherit, but he's also saying, I am assuring you that I am going to care for you. I'm going to meet my legal obligations to you as your father, okay? So, now I said, ladies, don't worry. Because right before this passage, right when I opened in Genesis or Galatians 3:29, Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one, you are all one in Christ Jesus. So in this regard, and then it goes into the adoption, the heirs part. So in this regard, it's saying it doesn't matter male or female. It's not like Roman law. God sees us all as his children, okay? He doesn't delineate between male and female. So, again, all of us have the legal right. If we are children of God through salvation in Jesus Christ, then we have a full package of the gifts. It's not just when we get Jesus as our gift, there's a whole package of other things that come along with it. And those are the things that God is obligated, required as our adoptive father, if you will, to provide for us. The law would hold him accountable to provide these things for us. So why is this so important? Romans 8:17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So we are heirs of God. We all understand what an heir is, right? An heir is somebody who inherits the parents' stuff, okay? So we're heirs of God. Well, how do I know? Because when we have a will, the will will tell us, well, so-and-so gets this, and this family gets this, and this person gets this, and it's all laid out, right? So how do I know if I'm an heir, which part of the will do I get? What does it say? I'm an heir of God, and what's the next part? Co-heirs with Christ. Let me ask you this. What do you think Jesus inherits in the kingdom of God? Everything? So if I'm a co-heir with Christ, what do I inherit? Everything? And you too. It's all ours. All of these gifts, all these things that are a part of the package, they all belong to us. We are co-heirs with Christ. And I really want to drive that back home. It all belongs to you. It's like you can say, well, how is that possible? 100% of something can't belong to, you know, a million people. Well, sure it can. If you're married, do you have by chance a joint bank account? If you have a joint bank account, there's two of you probably on it. And guess what? 100% of it belongs to both of you. It's not 50-50, right? So this is the way it works. 100% belongs to everybody because we are co-heirs in it. It's the legal idea like a joint bank account. Now, there are certain things from our parents, children have to earn from their parents. How many of you ever told your parents or have told your children, you have to earn my trust? Right? It's like, I don't just trust you blindly, right? I mean, we love our kids. Love is not earned. Shouldn't be. If your children have to earn your love, then you're doing something wrong, all right? But they do have to earn your trust. They do have to earn your confidence. There are certain things our children do have to earn, and there are certain things that we do not, that they do not have to earn. And that's kind of where I want to get into some of this. Because of this unconditional love that we have for our children, there are several things that our children do not have to earn. They do not have to earn these things from their parents. It's a part of the deal. It's a part of the legal obligation of being a parent. Like I said, as a parent, you can be charged with neglect if you do not meet these things for your children, to care for your children. Like I read earlier, the law also granted the one who adopted that son the full rights and responsibilities of a father or parent, full authority over the adopted child, and full responsibility to care for them. we do know that we are to serve God, to love God, and to serve God. But as a part of that adoption, God also has a requirement to care for us. He has a responsibility to care for us. And those are the things that are a part of this package. So this love and this required care, you have to meet the basic necessities of a child. You need to provide for them. You need to clothe them, to feed them, to shelter them, to see that they get an education. You know, all these basic things for the care of a child. Those things are required. All right? They're not earned. There are some things, though, that are earned, and there are some things that, again, like we do not have to earn. And I really want to talk about those things that are today more in God's, in this package, if you will. When we receive Jesus as our gift, these other gifts that come along with it, they're gifts, they're not earned. God says, these are things I will provide for you as a part of my responsibility to care for you. These are things I will provide for you. We do not have to earn God's favor. Okay? I may have to earn God's trust, amen. But I don't have to earn his favor. I may have to earn his trust and him seeing me grow up and mature, but I don't have to earn his protection. I don't have to earn his provision. He's going to provide for me. Those are things that a parent is required to give to provide for their children. He's going to include me. He's going to protect me. These are things that I do not have to earn. God says that when we are become heirs according to the promise, we receive these things as a part of the gift of Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want to spend a little bit of time looking at here today. I'm going to have to really skip some stuff here and go a lot faster. Let's look, first of all, at favor. We do not have to earn God's favor. As a part of the gift of Jesus Christ, part of that gift is his favor. Proverbs 8:35 says, "For whoever finds me, finds life, and receives favor from the Lord." So when we find Jesus as our Lord, we find favor with God. When it talks about finding me, it means when I realize that Jesus is Lord and I make him Lord of my life, that's what it means when I find him. When I realize that my life does not belong to me, it belongs to him. He's my Lord, and I'm going to look at him as my Lord and serve him as my Lord. When I do that, I receive his favor. Now, how would you like to have somebody who, again, owns everything to have their favor? I want God's favor. I don't have to earn it. It's a part of the package. Amen? When I receive Jesus as Lord, as it says, whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. If I find him, if I receive him as Lord, I find favor as a part of that package. You have God's favor. If you are a child of God through new birth in Jesus Christ, then you have his favor. Isaiah 60 verse 10 says, "Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion." So he's talking about God's favor here in Isaiah. He's saying, look at these things, how I favored you. You didn't have to rebuild your walls. Foreigners rebuilt your walls. You don't have to serve this king. This king will serve you. Now, as a parent, do I get upset with you sometimes? He says, yes, and I discipline you, but it doesn't change the fact that I will still show you my favor and show you compassion, because it's a part of the adoption package. When you become my child, you receive my favor. And my favor are these things like foreigners rebuilding your walls, other kings serving you. Doesn't mean I don't discipline you, but I will have compassion on you because you're my child, and I will show you favor. He does not strike us. He might discipline us, but he doesn't strike us down. We are living in a time of God's favor. Jesus himself quoted it in Luke 4, 18 and 19 when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We are living in a time frame, a dispensation, Bible scholars might call it, of God's favor. I often, when I'm praying and I'm asking for God to do something, especially for praying for other people, I will say, God, I will ask him to do me a favor. Why not? I live in a time of God's favor. when we give our lives to Jesus, we have, as a part of that package of salvation, we have God's favor. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be favored by somebody who's loving and compassionate and has the ability to provide for them the things that they need. So Jesus came as a part of that Christmas promise to proclaim God's favor to those who would receive him as Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." We are living in a time of God's favor. Now, probably many of you in here, you're saved, you're born again, and I'll bet you've never asked God for a favor. Am I right? You guys, it's okay to respond to me. I'm trying to talk to you, not at you, okay? Am I right? Sure, healing's a favor. So I know you asked for healing, Keely. Just make it through the day. Yes. Well, here's the thing. When you ask that, you should know that he's going to answer you because you have his favor, right? Right. Because God favors us. He says, again, specifically Paul is saying, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation." We live in a time when people can be saved. They can be taken from under the law, out from underneath that law, from guilty to innocent, and from having God's condemnation to God's favor. Now is that time. And we have it. Let's go all the way back to where we started. We have it because we are heirs according to a promise. It goes all the way back to Abraham and Sarah when God promised them that they would be the father of nations, okay? And that Abraham and Sarah had a child, not because they could, because they couldn't. We were told they could no longer have children, but they did anyways. Why? Because God promised them that they would. And it took about 10 years, by my calculations, but God fulfilled that promise. It's because of a promise. So we have this, we have God's favor, we have his salvation, we live in it now, and it's paralleled with this idea of promise, going all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. God found them righteous, and he fulfilled his promise because they believed him. And so we need to believe these things, but we do live in this time of God's favor. So we have favor. We also have protection. Psalm 5, 11 and 12 says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield." So we see in this, in verse 11, he says you spread your protection over them, and that protection comes as a part of God's favor, because he concludes verse 12 by saying, "With your favor as a shield." And we know a shield does what? It's defensive. It protects you. So as a part of God's favor, we have God's protection. But we're told also in the beginning of verse 12, who can receive that protection? It says, "O Lord, you bless the" who? "The righteous." So when we're righteous means we meet God's rights. We meet God's standard of being right before him. So when we are right before him, how do we meet God's standard of being right before him? Can we do it on our own? No, we do it because we have Jesus, right? Because Jesus is Lord of our lives. So when we meet that standard of his righteousness, then we, as a part of that package, we have favor. And with favor comes protection. If God favors me, he's not going to see me destroyed or injured, right? He's going to protect me. So as a part of this, again, this gift package, we get Jesus, but along with that, we get favor, we get protection. I'm going to skip that. Oh. Let's go. I need to skip a bunch here. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. It says, which of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I'm talking here about provision. So as a part of those things, again, we don't have to earn these. When we are adopted, we don't have to earn these. Now, I can be adopted as God's child, right? And like I said, I still have to demonstrate to God that I am able to be trusted, right? I have to demonstrate to God that I'm growing, that I'm maturing, that he can trust me to, you know. But what I don't have to earn as his child is favor, protection, provision. So this is what we're on now, provision. What did I just read? It says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If you then are evil, we're talking about mankind, we are evil at our core, know how to give good gifts, how much more so our Father in heaven? I don't have to. Now this is going to be, some of you are going to question this, but let me lay it out like this. There's certain things I have to earn from God, there are certain things I don't, and one of them is provision. And you might say, well, that's not, you got to earn God's blessings. I don't have to earn his provision. If you, as a parent, do not ever feed your child and provide them food, what's going to happen? The law's showing up, right? And you're in trouble. Why? Because you have a legal obligation to meet those parental requirements. Provision. You have to provide for them the basic necessities of life. And this just said, if you as a human being know how to do that, how much more so your Father in heaven? So as a part of the Christmas package of Jesus, yes, I get favor, I get protection, and I get provision. All because God promised us that we could be heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So he is going to provide for us. Psalm 37, verses 25 through 28 says, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed or his children begging for bread. We don't have to beg. If we're God's children, we don't have to beg for our basic provision. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. So again, in that passage, we see that God is going to provide for his children and he's going to protect them. We don't have to beg for it. It's a part of the deal. Children may sometimes beg their parents for some candy or another cookie or something like that, but you don't have to beg your parents just to feed you. Amen? In fact, it's even better if you go over to grandma's house, she's going to probably shove it down your throat, right? Do you want some more? Can I get you something of this, some of that? God is going to provide for us. It says that the righteous have never been forsaken, and his children do not have to beg to have their basic necessities meet. He generously gives, okay? He will not forsake his faithful ones, and he will protect them. The wicked's offspring is different. Let's go on. Let's go to Ephesians. So we've got favor, we've got protection, we've got provision. Now I want to go to Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 13, and I'm going to jump to verse 19. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the hands by body by human hands, remember that at that time You were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants and the promises, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Or members of God's family. Inclusion. Favor, protection, provision, inclusion. You do not have to earn inclusion. When you are saved, you are included. That is a part of the gift that Jesus gives us. It says, but now in Christ, you who were once far away are now what? You're brought near. You are now included because of the blood of Jesus. When you understand that the blood of Jesus was shed for you and paid the price for your sin, and you believe that and receive it, you were far off, but now you're included. Now you were outside of the family, now you're inside the family. You are a member of the family. And he says, because consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but you are a fellow citizen with God's people and members of God's household. We're in the household. You're part of the family. Before the promise, before God promised us that we could be his children, then we were outside of the family. It's through the gift of Jesus at the time that we celebrate as Christmas that we now have an opportunity to be included in the family of God, to have his favor, to have his provision, to have his protection. Through the promise, because God promised it, because we're children of promise, because we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, we were excluded. It wasn't me. Do we understand what the word excluded means? Shut out. It doesn't mean that we just hadn't chosen to come into the family. It means there was no way to get into the family. You were excluded. You were shut out. There was no way for you to become a part of the family. You could be the most wonderful person you could ever, but you were excluded. You couldn't become a part of the family until the promise came, the promise of Jesus Christ. This child born, not of, you know, of a woman coming into the world, and because of God's promise, we're no longer excluded. Now we can be included to be members of God's household. Let me close with this, Ephesians 3, verse 6, and I'm going to jump to verse 15. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with the Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. We are considered Gentiles. If you're ever wondering, you're a Gentile. I don't think anybody here is Jewish by birth. So that means we're Gentiles. Guess what? We're included in the same family as God's chosen people, the Jews. Because it says that the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, with the Jews. We are heirs. We are all members of the same body. I used to know a gentleman, and I could never get him to understand this. He was not real big on the Jews. He always blamed the Jews for Jesus' death. I always tried to point out, I crucified Jesus. You crucified Jesus. We all crucified Jesus because of our sin. And I would explain, you know, if you really believe the Bible, you need to understand you're Jewish by birth. Or I'm sorry, you're Jewish by adoption. Because we're adopted into the family. Okay? That family that God made a covenant with. The gospel of the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. I'm an heir together with the Jews. That means I'm a part of that family. So to me, that says I'm Jewish by adoption. We share together the promise of Jesus Christ, the promise of Christmas, The promise of Christmas. What is the promise of Christmas? The promise of Christmas is that if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. That's what I'm an heir to. That's what I'm sharing with the Israelites, that we share together the promise of Christ, the promise that is Christmas. Jesus, we talk about the gift of Christmas, but there's this promise aspect to it. The reason we received the gift is because God promised us that we could. And when we opened up this gift of Jesus, salvation through Jesus, there's all these other things included with it. Favor, protection, provision, inclusion, all these things that go along with it. I know this isn't your traditional Christmas message, but are you getting what I'm saying? It's all because of the promise that God gave us through Jesus at Christmas. Romans 8, 15 through 17 says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." So I'm going to add one more to this. I've talked about favor, protection, provision, inclusion, and the last one, privilege. Privilege. We have a privilege to be called God's children. We have the privilege of being called a part of God's family. We have the privilege of inheriting everything that Jesus inherits, even though we don't deserve it, even though we didn't do anything to earn it. So we have this privilege. It's all a part of the package that is the gift of Jesus Christ. And we have it all because of the fact that we are children of promise. God promised it to us, and because of Jesus, we can believe it and we can receive it. That's God's Christmas promise to us. We have Jesus, salvation through him. We become adopted as his children. We inherit everything that God provides for us. We become his children, but he also has an obligation to us as our parent. We take on his name and all the benefits that come with it, and we also get everything that's provided for us because he becomes our father, and he's required to care for us with favor, again, protection, provision, inclusion, and privilege. Amen? I'm just going to close with this one verse just because I wanted to have a Christmas-sounding verse in here somewhere. Matthew 1, 21 through 23 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you will give his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The last and ultimate aspect of God's Christmas promise to us, yes, was Jesus and all that goes along with us. But what he actually did, what I just read, is he promised that he himself would come and be with us. He would be Emmanuel. He would be God with us. So when we're adopted as children of God, we have the rights of children. Name, citizenship, and all that goes along with it. But we also received God coming to be with us and acting as a father and fulfilling all of his parental responsibilities to us as well. Because he's required. God understood that. God, all these rules and laws and stuff that I'm talking about, they're in place because God designed them. God didn't get tricked into saying, "Oh man, I didn't mean to adopt them, and then I have to be responsible to them like a parent." He did not make a mistake. He did it because he wanted us to know that he is going to care for us legally required as any parent would, and he gladly did it. God gladly said, "I'm going to be Emmanuel, God with him. I'm going to be their father. I'm going to be responsible. I take on the responsibility and all the legal obligation of caring for them and providing for them the way a legal adoption would be, the way a father would be. I choose to do that." He will be Emmanuel, God with us. That's God's Christmas promise to us. And hopefully we remember that and celebrate that. That's what we're, along with all the other gifts, whether you get a teeny tiny gift that you got to open up five boxes to get to, or if you get something from Josh and everything's just put into one big box, either way, in the midst of all that, remember that we have this promise to us that we are God's children, and then he came and lived with us to fulfill all of those obligations that he made to us. It is indeed a great privilege to be considered God's children, and that's God's Christmas promise to us.